How many of you, by a show of hands, met your significant other at a watering hole? It's funny, the guys always raise their hands and the wives kind of look at them embarrassed. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. Isaac, Jacob, and Moses all met their wives at the local watering hole. This is where the community would gather because they would need to go out and get water for the day. And the same is true in our gospel, where the Samaritan woman goes to Jacob's well, the one that Jacob gave, and drew water. And she encounters this man named Jesus. Now, the well is a place for the community to gather because of the need for water. And as Catholics, we do a pretty good job of gathering as a community, as we do here at Mass today or at other events. But sometimes we grow up with that sense of community and coming to Mass on Sunday, but we don't grow up with the other side of the same coin, the need for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, an encounter with Him, like the woman at the well today. And it kind of stands to reason. When you come as a little kid to Mass and you see the community gathered together, you get a sense of, okay, I practice my faith in the community. But unless your parents really teach you how to pray and teach you how to enter into that personal relationship, it can be rather difficult. But I know that God has called each of you here today to a deep personal relationship with Him. And there's a couple things given to us in our gospel today that can aid us in that relationship. One is what I would call a deepening understanding of who Jesus is. And this is twofold. Notice number one. I don't know if you caught this, but the way that the woman refers to Jesus in the gospel changes over the course of the whole gospel. She first refers to Him as sir, like mister. And then she says, oh, I see you are a prophet. And then she says, oh, you're the Christ, the Messiah. And then at the end, she and the whole community are gathered around and they say, oh, we can truly see that you are the Savior of the world. And do you see how her understanding of Jesus Christ deepens? It goes from, hey, you're a nice guy, to, oh, you're a prophet. You're come here to give us the word of God, to, oh, you're the Messiah, the one who's come from God to the world, to the most deep level. You're our Savior. And brothers and sisters, your understanding of Jesus Christ must deepen in a similar way. There is a tendency in our culture, even among Christians, to want to not deepen that. Why? Because God has to come and invade your soul. And you have to open up the nastiest parts to Him. And it's hard to do. I was looking on Facebook this past week, and I follow a certain Catholic theologian. Some of you have heard of him. His name is Christopher West. And he posted a video of an interview with Bono, the lead singer of U2. And in this interview, the interviewer asked Bono, what do you believe about Jesus? And it's interesting how his response went. He said, you know, there's people out there that say Jesus was a good guy. Is that true? Yeah. There's people out there that say, oh, he is a prophet. Is that true? Yes. And there's people out there that say, yes, he's the one sent from God. Is that true? Yes. But is he your Savior? That takes a lot more out of us than just saying, oh, he's a nice guy, or he's a good teacher. To say he's the King of Kings and the Lord of my life, and I give absolutely everything over to him. Sometimes we have the tendency, guys, to want to keep Jesus on the level of sir, or on the level of prophet, or on the level of Christ, because it's a lot to let him in and be our Savior. There's another kind of understanding that's going on. Notice that this woman comes out to get water, and Jesus offers her living water. There's a tendency for us sometimes to understand the gospel and to understand God in merely human terms. Now, the tendency sometimes is for preachers like myself to get up and to understand only God in heavenly terms. And you've all been to churches or heard sermons where the priest seems to be talking way up here, and you're like, I have absolutely no clue what he's talking about. Shoot me now, or let me go home and take a nap, right? And then you get on the other end of the spectrum, priests who get up here and they just kind of blab, and they're like, okay, well, I didn't really get anything out of that. I don't feel spiritually fed. And we must have both. We must have water, normal nourishment, the human kind, but we also have to have the spiritual kind, this living water that Jesus speaks about. You see, it was the custom for people to go, they would have a jar in their house and they would take it to the well, usually in the morning, but this woman's living in sin and she doesn't want the ridicule of all of her neighbors, so she comes towards noon when people would actually take a rest for the day because things are getting hot. And she comes out and she's going to lower the bucket down in the well, bring up some water, and then pour it in her jar. And if you've ever held a big jar full of water, it's pretty heavy. And she's going to walk back to her house with that jar. And at first, Jesus says, you know, if you would have asked me, I would have given you indoor plumbing. That's the equivalent of what he's saying here. When he says living water, that's the same as running water or a stream. I'm going to put a stream right outside your front door. And she's thinking, please give me this water. And she's only understanding Jesus in human terms, right? In material terms. Give me water so I don't have to keep coming to this well every day. And Jesus, you know, he must have kind of been scratching his head. He's like, no, you still don't get it. And he says, this living water will well up inside of you until it is a fountain, a spring of eternal life. That's what I want to give you. You see, what Jesus has done is he has met her on a human level, on a material level, on the basic needs of life. But he has helped her to grow into an understanding of something spiritual. And guys, that's exactly how God operates. That's why we have these sacraments, right? I mean, God meets us in bread and wine to give us the body and blood, which we can't see. God meets us in baptism in the form of water and words, and then gives us eternal life. He meets us in reconciliation through the absolution of a priest, a mere human being, his instrument, to take away our sins. You see, guys, this is God's mode of operation. He meets you in the material to bring you the supernatural. That is the deepening of understanding that must occur when one enters into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But when one lets Jesus into that level of Savior, that necessarily means we have to acknowledge our sin, right? I don't have a need for a Savior if I don't have any sin. Thanks, Jesus, I'm good. Go bother somebody else who's worse off than I am. And some people even tend to do that, don't they, in their spiritual lives? They say, well, I'm not an axe murderer and I haven't cheated on my wife, so I must be good. Is that the standard that Jesus sets forth in the scriptures? You have to be a good guy to go to heaven? No. You have to be a saint. And he can make every single one of you a saint. So part of accepting Jesus as our Savior is accepting his love. And we see that also happen in our gospel today. Now, notice some oddities about this. The disciples come back from going to get McDonald's, and they come back and they see Jesus at the well, and they say, you're talking to a woman. And a lot of us, if we're listening, are kind of like, so what's wrong with that? Well, keep in mind, this woman is living in sin. She has a thing for men, and she's all alone with Jesus. So a little bit of scandal going on there, right? He's also asked her for a drink And there's a couple problems with that. Asking for a drink from a single woman could mean something. Kind of like being at the local watering hole and walking up and say, "Can I buy you a drink?" Right? Could mean something. But she's also a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan is originally somebody who is part of the Jewish religion, but the Syrians came in and they conquered their land, and what happened was the Jews in that area mixed their Jewish faith with the pagan faith of the Syrians. And so the Jews down in Jerusalem were like, you guys kind of mixing the good with the bad. We kind of still have that same problem today, don't we? Even as Catholics. We mix in with the culture around us to the point where it harms our belief. It waters it down. So by asking for a drink, Jesus says, cross some social barriers there to show her, I want to engage you. I want to know you. And I'm not worried about the fact that you're worshiping in the wrong church. And I'm not worried about the fact that you're a woman of ill repute and I'm a single man and here we are alone. Not saying you should put yourself in those situations, but he is reaching out to her through the sin. John Paul II, our late pope, had a wonderful saying. And when people come to me as a priest and they say, "Father, what do I do about my child who's quit practicing their faith? Or my friend that hurt me and I'm just still really bitter at them. What do I do about that?" And I found one rule that he said that has always helped me in all those cases. And he said to give people the truth in love. The truth in love. Tell them the truth, but do it with love. Jesus did this with the woman at the well, didn't he? He said, you're fornicating. You're living with a man who's not your husband. That is a sin. The Bible says that fornicators shall not enter the kingdom of God. Young people, remember that when you meet somebody that you think you want to spend the rest of your life with. It is a grave sin. But Jesus also crosses these social barriers to show her, I love you enough to at least share a drink with you and to offer you eternal life, to say you can be forgiven, to not go around wagging his finger and saying you're condemned, but to offer her something more. And brothers and sisters, that's our job. If you let Jesus onto that level of Savior, if he's not just a guy to you or a prophet or even the Messiah, but he is your Savior, you will know a love that is unending, that is unconditional, that there is not a sin in this whole world that he can't forgive. And then you'll be able to extend that same love to other people like Jesus does in the gospel today. Do you remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? It's another great example. This woman's been caught in the act of adultery, the Bible says. Evidently, the man got away. And the elders of the Jewish community are standing out there with rocks in hand, getting ready to stone her to death, which they were allowed to do by Mosaic law. And Jesus walks up and he starts drawing in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. One person theorized that he wrote out the sins of all the guys holding the rocks, right? And they dropped their stones and they walked away. And Jesus walks over the woman, and what he does next is just beautiful. It says that he picked her up, you know, helped her up off the ground. She's lying there. They've dragged her out. She's probably a little beat up. And he picks her up. And he says, "Where are your accusers?" And she says, "Sir, they've all gone away." He says, "Then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." He showed her love, but he gave her the truth. Don't sin anymore, but I love you. And that's what Jesus says to each one of you. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Really deep down, what does he mean to you? Is he a guy who can come and punch your ticket on Sunday so you can feel better about yourself? Is he a self-help guru who has some great teachings that I like to follow? Is he a prophet from God who came to share the word of God, and that's great? Or is he something much more? A Messiah, God incarnate, one who came to marry the material and the worldly to the immaterial and the spiritual. Is he your Savior?